Will Americans have enough money to retire on?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. New research says Americans are more than $6 trillion short of what they need for retirement. That works out to $90,000 per potential retiree on average. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is live in Washington with some highlights of a new study. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
These are pretty gloomy numbers. What are they based on?
Yeah, sorry to bring you down here, Steve.
Yeah.
These numbers are based on research from the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. Now, the center's researchers calculated what the average person between the ages of 32 and 64 has saved so far toward retirement. Then they calculated what the average person needs. And guess what? We're not saving nearly enough. The exact shortfall is $6.6 trillion.
That is a whopping number. Now, could that number get worse, Nancy?
Unfortunately, it could. And that's because this is actually a conservative estimate. The center assumes a rate of return on investment of 3%. And it also assumes that there won't be any changes to Social Security benefits. So, for example, if the retirement age were raised, these numbers would change. And most importantly, the center didn't include what the average retiree spends on health care. I talked with Monique Morrissey about this. She's an economist at the Economic Policy Institute.
Older households spend a lot larger share of their income on health care, and in particular on nursing home care. And if you were to take the higher health care costs into account, you would actually find a much greater number of households that are at risk to see falling living standards in retirement.
And Morrissey says the researchers also assumed that future retirees would spend every penny they had on retirement, leaving nothing for their heirs.
It's an eye-opening report. Marketplace's yeah. Nancy Marshall-Genzer reporting from D.C. Nancy, thanks.
You're welcome.
Well, the Democratic leader in the House in Washington today opened the door to a compromise with Republicans. That's over the looming expiration of trillions of dollars in tax cuts for nearly every American. The majority leader, Steny Hoyer, told reporters that while affirming the Democrats' preference for only renewing lower taxes for the middle class and under, he says there are alternatives that they can do to move forward. Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now. Not by much. The S&P up by a fraction of a percent. The NASDAQ up by 0.2%. Same for the Dow. Now higher by 28 points to 10,554. European shares right now are lower by about 0.5% or less. In Asian trading today, the Nikkei shot up 2.5% with the news that the Bank of Japan intentionally weakened the yen for the first time in 6 years, selling yen and buying dollars to help boost exports in Japan. And to be sure, Japanese business leaders are applauding that move. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports.
A strong currency may sound like a good thing, but it makes products sold abroad more expensive. Nintendo, for example, gets 3/4 of its sales from outside of Japan, and the strength of the yen can make its games less attractive to consumers in the US. And it's not alone. Well-known manufacturers like Sony, Canon, and Toyota are in the same boat. Now, Japan's finance minister, Yoshihiko Noda, has decided it's time to try and weaken the value of the currency by selling Japanese yen and buying US dollars.
We've just intervened in the currency market in order to avoid rapid exchange rate moves. We will take decisive steps if necessary, including intervention while continuing to closely watch currency market moves from now on.
It seems the Japanese prime minister feels more confident to take aggressive measures after fighting off a leadership challenge. The intervention caught traders by surprise, and the impact was immediately obvious. But Japan acted alone, without international cooperation from other central banks. And that means the effect may be short-lived. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
We got word today industrial production rose slightly in August, and the Federal Reserve reports the U.S. manufacturing sector grew for the 12th time in 13 months. However, the report said factory work, that's the biggest part of industrial production, slowed a bit after a bigger gain in July, a lot of that due to a drop in auto manufacturing. Today, the website Trulia.com said American homeowners once again slashed asking prices for properties on the market. 26% of homes had price cuts last month.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com. And by Reputation Defender, protecting online privacy by monitoring the web and removing your personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com/market.
A new study says being fat and out of shape isn't just bad for your heart and your pocketbook, it's also bad for the entire American economy. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has the skinny.
With more than two-thirds of Americans tipping the scales as overweight or obese, the economic impact spreads well beyond medical costs. Worker productivity is also suffering, says Ross Hammond of the Brookings Institution.
Absenteeism and disability in the workforce, those could add up to as high as $66 billion a year.
There are environmental costs as well.
Much higher levels of fuel use for transporting heavier passengers, both on airlines and passenger vehicles.
And more greenhouse gases because the humans are bigger and we transport more food to feed them. They also generate more organic waste, but let's not go there first thing in the morning. There are solutions out there, says Matt Lerner of Walk Score, which ranks cities based on how easily you can get around.
People who live in walkable neighborhoods, on average, weigh 7 pounds less
than folks in neighborhoods where you have to drive to stock up on more chips and guacamole. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, the city of San Diego could be selling some ad space on the walls of some of its schools. The Board of Education is considering the proposal, which could bring in as much as $100,000 to the school board's cash-strapped budget. The plan would allow ads in libraries, hallways, and other common areas, but not inside the sanctuary of the classroom. That space is reserved for text messaging and passing notes. Check us out online. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. You can download the podcast, the Marketplace Midday Update. That's there. And you can follow me on Twitter, Chio, C-H-I-O-M-M-R. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.